Hey, everybody, this is Amanda LaFerrier, the Chief Product Officer at Sig Fig. I'm with my colleague, Dan Mercurio, our Chief Revenue Officer from Sig Fig. We are broadcasting from the great state of Nevada, the great city of Las Vegas, and we are attending the FinTech Meetup Conference, and we just wanted to share a little bit of some of the thoughts and insights that we're seeing from everybody. So, Dan, what's the key takeaway that you have after sitting through some of these tracks and meeting with folks? What are you seeing?
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot discussed coming off of a really volatile week in financial services and specifically banking with SVB, challenges in the overall macroeconomic climate. A lot of discussion around how do we operate in a market of uncertainty? How do we stay focused on reducing costs, delivering good quality, safe, secure solutions to consumers? And how do we look for ways to be efficient, right? I think if I think back to a lot of the conferences I've been to over the past few years, this is the first one that I've really felt a palpable theme around efficiency, looking at technology in different ways to take out costs, eliminate redundancy. There's been a lot of discussion around the health of the regional bank community. You know, our regional banks really are the lifeline to number of businesses across America, and the uncertainty on what role the regional bank will play has been on everyone's mind, so there's been a lot of discussion on that. I mean, ultimately, I think policymakers are going to create policy that allows consumers to feel confident in continuing to bank with regional, so I think we will survive this, regionals will survive this, but it's been a big topic of conversation.
Yeah, I'd echo that. I think some of the things that I've been picking up, or it's hard to ignore while you're attending, is just these macro events that have now happened to us, right? So we all hung out and we made it. We saw winners and losers through COVID. You know, folks rolled out of that. I think the implications of how folks have rolled out of that as a society, personally, professionally, are still rolling out. Then we see the macro events of things such as, you mentioned, SVB. And then, you know, even crypto. So a lot of the folks I talked to in the crypto industry out here, there was a lot of bullish, even in our space, around Are you pulling digital assets into investing? And then, you have some of these scandals or macro events that happen, and all of a sudden these industries, these products are dialing back, and folks are looking for more reliable ways to add value to clients, more reliable ways to add value to their bottom line, whether that's through efficiency or whether that's through more revenue growth, acquisition. And I would say one of the themes that I've seen a lot, which is no shock, I think we talk about this all the time, right, is partnerships. Sure. So you just can't have a build your way through this, so it's looking for those linkages, whether you're in wealth tech and it's in payments, or it's in digital identity or NFTs or crypto or banking partners. The partner theme is still is going to be really strong. We heard that even in some of the major talk tracks where, you know, folks are building, they're using the words like platform, right, where it's a fully enabled plug-and-play ecosystem of products and value back to the clients.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Over the past 5 years or so, the talk track around partnerships has absolutely changed, right? At one point in time, it was, do you partner? And I think firms large and small, it's no longer a conversation of do you partner. It's where do you partner, which pieces of the business do you go external for support? And so, you know, I thought there was a lot of good advice over the past couple of days on what to look for in fintech partnerships. There was a session that I attended where one of the panelists, you know, really talked about the four S's of partnership. So first one being speed. Are there partnerships that can be executed that allows you as a firm to get to market more quickly than if you were to build it yourself? Scalability, does it allow you to scale a business or scale a segment strategy in a way that might not have been possible before? And then, you know, two other elements around service and security. You know, security is table stakes. So the platform needs to be able to drive forward meaningful advancements in compliance and regulatory execution from a risk management standpoint. And is there a true spirit of partnership with the firm? So reflected in service. Are you actually treated as a partner? I know we, you know, call our commercial clients partners for a reason. And that's because we are vested in their success. We only succeed when they succeed and when the end client succeeds. And that was certainly a resounding theme that I heard.
Yeah, I heard that too. And on that, there's several founders, CPOs, executives that I was sharing with more on the software product side, who additionally, they're really looking for partners that talk about, these are my 3 to 5 capabilities. We heard that from Citi and from others that were speaking. These are my 3 to 5 capabilities. If it's not in my wheelhouse, I'm going to go look first to partner before I try to build that. And I'm really going to lean towards partnering, towards buying and acquisition before I go and I look at building that within. The other thing that we're hearing a lot of folks is that, you know, runway isn't there for everybody. So folks are looking for not just are these interesting problems to solve or interesting partners to bring to the table, because many of us that have been in the partnership world for a while, you can, it's medium hard to strike up a partnership. It's really hard to make it get traction, get embedded into the company. And so you really want to bring in a few select partners that really get it, add value to your customer base. They know what their 3 to 5 core capabilities. You know that it's not a core capability that you want to go build from the ground up. And that's the partners and the players that I think that are going to win, the partners that are going to last through this macro economy, and the ones that are going to come out as winners ultimately at the end.
Yeah, for sure. You know, switching gears a little bit, I was really impressed with just the sheer volume of new founders that are starting companies, right?
I know.
Had a great opportunity to meet a number of founders that have a lot of passion around what they're building and what they're starting. How about you? Did you have a chance to see some interesting new companies that are being founded?
I did. You know, as a product person, we're always, I hope we're always innately curious. So one of the first things I've been asking, whether they are investors or founders or just what are you seeing out there that's interesting? What's some of the emerging trends? You know, whether it's even e-commerce, what are you seeing in interesting trends there? Whether it's wealth tech, payments, you know, obviously the big one that is hard not to run into when you're out here is anything around digital identity,
right?
And all the movement there to see who's going to be the clear winner and kind of having that digital authentication that's happening, KYC, KYB. And so it was really enlightening to see that there is still a lot of people getting into the game, finding that traction. And, you know, it's not all big players. And I think some of our larger partners like we have, you mentioned some of our partners that are great, are more open anymore to some of these smaller fintechs, right?
Sure.
Especially, like you said, if they can scale and they're resilient and they know who they are and what they're not. These guys are, they're getting, you know, the big gigs and the big partnerships with some of these players, and it's evening the playing field.
Yeah, for sure. And Amanda, you're doing a lot of good strategy work on really developing SigFig's five-year strategic plan as it relates to product and product strategy. Anything you're hearing over the past couple of days that are inputs that you will consider with the team as you think about strategy and continue to double down on really defining where we're going to go?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously that's a loaded question because you and I talk about this all the time. But, yeah, there's a couple things, right? Like, I think we know in wealth tech, SigFig was a first mover or an early mover into the robo space. We all know robo programs are great. You and I just did a webinar on it the other day. Most of the advisor world is hung out in the high net worth, very complex tools, probably too complex, very expensive, not great experiences, pretty inefficient, not great client experiences, but they can do almost anything that you need, right? And those have worked fine because those relationships are often struck on the golf course, or it's less about the technology, more about the relationship and the planning, right? And those ultra high net worth are worth that. I think you and I know that the future for some of us is going to be the segmented service model. And we're going to see a lot around how do we position advisors differently? How do we give the home office a little bit more P&L control? How do we still have a great advisor experience, but how do we kind of back up and say we don't have to have a one-to-one advisor strategy to give value back to the clients? These clients now have more technology confidence. Maybe some of them are robo. They're growing in balances. They're growing in needs, though, too. They may need a will. They may need help with their taxes, but they don't need a tax attorney, right? And so we want to help our partners find value back to that middle segment. And so it's going to be around efficiency. It's going to be around effectiveness, driving balances. It's going to be around advice that really nurtures folks at the right time. So you know, knowing that that client of yours has a son who's going to kindergarten, and just a nudge campaign that reaches out and asks if they've got any childcare savings they want to funnel into a 529. Like, these are the types of things where we're looking at intent, we're looking at life events, and we're trying to really help them plan the timeline. And so that's a pretty exciting space. I don't think there's a lot of clear winners in there yet, as you and I know. And it's one that 80% of our roadmap is dedicated to. We're starting to see a lot of our partners pick this up. And we really feel like there's value that we can provide back to these partners as they're looking at back office processes that have always been poor. But a lot of those back office processes make the front end client experience a nightmare too. You and I were sitting in a meeting the other day where one of our clients said 20 to 45% of their new account opening end in NIGOS errors and in a manual queue, right? Like, we can't have that happen. And so those are the areas that SigFig is really shining. Those are the areas that we really want to lean into and do more. And we think we've got a lot of muscle to provide back just to even our current clients.
Yeah, this is great. Really exciting times for, you know, challenging times for the industry, certainly, but exciting times as well. And Amanda, thanks, as always, for being a great partner and sharing your perspective on the event.
I'm glad to be here with you, Dan. Yeah.